T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was flabbergasted, I think is the word, to describe what I saw in the fourth quarter last night between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Denver Nuggets. The last thing I expected, it's not about the Nuggets winning, it's not about them erasing a 3-1 deficit second series in a row, but to watch Kawhi Leonard and Paul George just crumble under the pressure like we saw in the fourth quarter, where they combined last night throughout the game to be completely subpar. But in the fourth quarter, they disappeared. They've got two guys in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard who can take over a game. They've shown that throughout their career. And as they were missing field goal after field goal after field goal in the fourth quarter, I think they started 0 for 10 in the fourth quarter. Neither guy could take the reins of that game and step up like a true superstar. And the Kawhi aspect is obviously the most stunning. Because yeah. Kawhi Leonard, in a year's time, changed his image, changed everyone's view of his legacy based on what he did in Toronto last year and how he helped carry them to an NBA championship. Now, we've learned through this season that he had a pretty damn good supporting cast, but he was clearly the guy. And a year later, I think his legacy has taken a major hit for what we saw over the last three games, but specifically in what we saw in the fourth quarter of Game 7 last night. It was disastrous, Joe.
Yeah, hey, look, you know, it's interesting with the Clippers. You know, first of all, the Clippers have been one of those franchises over the years that has always found a way not to get it done. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, you go back to the early days, you know, Donald Sterling being the owner and, you know, all the number one picks they had that never ever panned out. I mean, we could go on with a lot of those kind of guys. You know, Elgin Baylor, I could still see him at the lottery all the time. You know, I just, when he was with, you know, the Clipper GM, it just doesn't seem to ever happen for them. And it looked like it finally was here. And another thing, too, with the Clippers, and let me say this, too, about the Clippers. We talk about this all the time, you and I. Anytime that we see, you know, that we're supposed to have, not every time, but many, it seems like more often than not, when we have that series that looks inevitable, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That inevitable matchup, no matter what sport it's in. Here they are. It's a collision course for these two teams. It just seems more often than not, it doesn't happen. And here we have it again. Everybody's looking at the All-LA. Oh, it's going to be the All-LA Conference Final in Orlando, you know? Lakers, Clippers. And at the end of the day, when all is said and done, it doesn't happen. I don't know how much I—look, Kawhi has done a lot of great things. He won in San Antonio as the lead guy. He won in Toronto as the lead guy. What happened with him and his team with the Clippers? I don't know the answer to. I mean, I don't know how I would answer that. Give Denver a lot of credit.
Well, that's the other thing, and it shouldn't be lost in this. The Denver Nuggets.
Does the bubble factor into it at all? In your mind?
It factors into the idea that there was absolutely no home court advantage, and that would have been significant because that game last night specifically
is in L.A.
would be in Los Angeles.
Right,
so,
right.
Now, that's an obvious one. Are you asking, does the bubble impact, I don't know, the lack of chemistry we saw from this team really all season long, and they clearly didn't develop it late here in the second round?
Right.
I don't know what kind of impact the bubble life is having on guys. You know, we talked about this earlier with Wilson Ramos, how it's understandable for a guy to say, look, I'm going home, I'm not with my family, and all I do is think about how I went 0 for 5.
Right.
So
it was kind of brought up yesterday when we had Doc on, Doc Emmerich, and he brought up, we were talking about Matt Martin. and you know how great he's been in the playoffs, but you know he's been away from his infant, you know, his baby for I don't know, seen him once, whatever it is.
Right.
I think he's got a
daughter.
I mean, is that it? I mean, right? You know what I mean?
And I think it affects everybody differently.
Right, everybody differently.
That's why, you know, and I've got some opinions on the Clippers and what went wrong, but I don't think I would use, and this goes even a little bit with every other team, not as much with the Bucks, because I can see schematically what I would want to change about them, but I wouldn't want to overreact to a team I built based on failing in the bubble. The Bucks clearly need a playmaker. The Bucks clearly need Giannis to
elevate
his game.
They also didn't have a guy like Leonard that had been to the mountaintop a couple times already and knows how to close it out. Do you know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
But I don't want to look at the Bucks' failures in the bubble and say, boy, I got to blow this whole thing up. And I wouldn't do that with the L.A. Clippers.
Right.
But you know what I find as the common denominator about the Clippers that bridge two really good eras of Clipper basketball?
Yeah.
The Blake Griffin era and now the Kawhi era.
Right.
The bridge is the head coach.
Yeah.
And let me ask you something about this head coach.
Right.
Because we've all anointed Doc Rivers this incredible. Look, the most overrated franchise or team to win a championship I've ever seen was the Boston Celtics, the one that he coached. And the reason I say they were overrated.
The Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen group.
100%. Because their reputations have been completely changed as if they were a dynasty. What I mean by that is we talk about Kevin Garnett like he's this ultimate winner. They won once.
Once.
We talk about Paul Pierce like he's the he won once.
Once, right.
We talk about Doc Rivers, who's had more playoff disappointments than victories, like they were a dynasty.
Yeah.
They won one championship, and it was great. They were a loaded team. Well, what I see in Los Angeles bridging the Blake Griffin, Chris Paul era, the Lob City era, to this is playoff disappointments with the same head coach. It's the same guy. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean I'm firing Doc Rivers? Not necessarily, but I think we have to be honest about Doc Rivers, the head coach. How good is he really, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, look, I mean, that's
what adjustments did we see in the fourth quarter last night?
It's a fair point, bro. I mean, look, it's certainly a fair point that you bring up about him. I mean, I think it's fair, sure.
And sometimes, and we saw this in Toronto, you've got to make maybe the unfair decision when trying to get to the next level. And this was, I don't care what Paul George says, this was a championship or bust mentality this season.
Yep, I would agree.
Because the L.A. Clippers, and I feel like I've got some weird bond with the L.A. Clippers because we're the second teams in town, but there's a big difference between what the Nets are trying to do and what the Clippers are trying to do. And you know what that difference is? Their window's even shorter than my window. Because Paul George and Kawhi Leonard can be free agents at the end of next season. And the L.A. Clippers traded every draft pick they had, which I'm familiar with, along with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, to build this team. They've got to win now. Because if they don't, Joe, they're going to have no draft picks, and they may well have two star players who say, you know what, I'm leaving. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
Now, luckily, I've got I have all my draft picks, and I've got 3 years of my two stars. But you know what? My mentality next year is going to be, they better win an NBA championship. If they got knocked out in the second round like this, I'd be fuming.
Yes, you would.
I'd be fuming. No,
especially with a
3-1 lead.
Especially with a 3-1 lead. No
and you know
question.
What all of these guys have to figure out, and this is really important because I'm going to be thinking about this a lot. I defended what Toronto did last year with Kawhi Leonard, all the maintenance days, because ultimately it worked. They won a championship.
Right.
The L.A. Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks both went very heavy on maintenance days, very heavy on resting their stars, very heavy on that. How does that look right now? How did Giannis look when they actually needed him to go out and play 40 minutes a night? A, couldn't stay healthy.
Right.
B, looked gassed.
Right.
Same thing with the Clippers. They didn't develop a chemistry all season long. Why? Maybe it's because Doc Rivers didn't play him enough. Maybe we can't treat the regular season, Joe, like one glorified preseason.
Well,
maybe you actually have to play you guys. Maybe you do.
Look, you know my feeling on that, bro. I mean, look, again, we don't have to go that far back. We can go back, to the 90s. These guys played all the time. You know, Patrick Ewing played all the time. Michael Jordan played all the time. Charles Barkley played all the time. Karl Malone played all the time. So, I mean, we don't have to go back that many years. I mean, it's over 20 now. But still, you know, to see, you know how I feel about that. It makes me nuts when these guys just sit out arbitrarily. I get the rigors of an 82-game NBA season, but that kind of stuff makes me crazy.
It really does. My focus is only on one thing, and that's to win an NBA championship.
I get it.
That should be. But if that gets you there, then fine. I'll defend it. It didn't help the L.A. Clippers this year.
Yeah.
It didn't help the Milwaukee Bucks this year.
And like you said, I mean, Giannis didn't even stay healthy. I mean, he's getting, you know, you get maintenance days, and then the big, you know, the two biggest games of the year, he gets hurt in the first one and doesn't play in the next one.
Hey, you know what my big lesson from this bubble is? And I will hopefully back up my words with what I say in February. To Steve Nash, you better play your guys.
Yeah.
I understand that you got to be careful with Kevin Durant. He's coming off an Achilles. I get it. You got to be careful with Kyrie Irving. He's like glass. He gets hurt all the time. I get all that. But you need your guys playing as much as possible so you can develop that chemistry.
No question about it.
So that when April, whenever the playoffs start next year, I'm going to assume it's May, June, whatever it is, that guys are ready to play together. That guys have that chemistry.
We saw it when you go back to the Miami teams with LeBron, okay, and that first year, what was it, 2011? I mean, they eventually lost to Dallas in the finals, but, you know, they got off to a really bad start. We talked about it. Oh, you know, they were 500. They were very pedestrian, whatever they were. You know, and then they got rolling, and, you know, obviously they won two titles. They went to four straight championships. But it takes time to develop, especially when you're putting new guys together, and that's going to be a great point for the Nets next year. You know, with Durant and Irving and all these guys. And the only way you develop that chemistry is to play.
Yeah,
and it's not going to happen in basketball more probably, you know, as much as any, maybe more than any other sport. Certainly you need cohesion in football as well. But you need these guys to play together, and it may take the Nets 20, 25 games to really start to get themselves where you want to see them on their way to going. And these guys got to play. So I'm with you, but I completely agree with that.
You have to balance being smart about health, which I understand.
Right.
I'm not ignoring. You have to develop the chemistry. Now, I feel bad, but of course the story is always going to be the negative. How about how money Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray have been?
Tremendous.
Because these guys had their backs to the wall against Utah. Jamal's had, what, 4 or 5 40-point games during the postseason?
Right, right.
And Nikola Jokic is one of the best all-around, I don't want to be hyperbolic here because I've seen some, but just based on his skill sets, just hear me out. I want to preface this. He's one of the most well-rounded big men I've ever seen. He's one of the great passers I've ever seen.
He's a tremendous passer.
And then he does things that wouldn't be fair to compare to other big men, like hitting threes. Like, I'm not going to compare that to guys from the night.
Yeah.
No one was
trying to do that. But, I mean, as far as a passer, I mean, he's you know, I think of Bill Walton, I think of Wes Unseld. You know, these kind of guys were tremendous passers, the outlet pass, all of that.
Yep.
And he's like that.
He really is.
He's in that kind of category. He really is.
He grabs a rebound. He puts his arm up. He's ready to throw a full court pass. And late in the game, and I know the game was out of reach, but it was almost, I think Van Gundy even said, it's like showing off at this point, when he tried the over-the-head backwards pass to Jamal, and it was perfect. And Murray got fouled and went to the line. But you've got two guys who, by the way, have played together a while now. How about that? They've got chemistry.
Yep.
You've got two guys in Jamal and Nikola Jokic who are playing at an insanely high level. And they should be underdogs against the Lakers. I understand that. Nikola Jokic is a problem right now. Defending and slowing down Jamal Murray is a problem right now. They're going to need more from Michael Porter, who was great during the bubble, and he's been up and down throughout the playoffs. But I give him a shot.
When does this series start? Tomorrow?
Starts Friday night.
That is definitely a sexy series. I am all in to see Denver knock off that. I would love, and I'm not the, you know, like the NBA is not what it once was to me, but I would love to see both the Lakers and Celtics go down. Oh my God.
God, I'm with you.
Denver, Miami, because you know that that's anything but what the, you know, the networks, you know, want to see. I mean, we know that.
It's funny.
They don't want to see that. TNT doesn't want to see that. I mean, I guess,
ABC,
who has the finals? ABC's got the finals.
Yeah.
So, you know, ABC doesn't want to. They don't want to see that. They want Boston Lakers. You know that.
I'm rooting for the same thing. It's not for the same reasons, though, because quite frankly, I just as a fan, I want to be entertained, and I cannot bring myself to ever root for the Lakers or the Celtics. I mean, we've sat through Lakers-Celtic finals, and they're the worst.
No.
They're just the worst to deal with.
I don't know where I would go here. I mean, you know, if it was Celtics-Lakers again, look, all the years of Celtics-Lakers, I always rooted for the Lakers. Always.
Right.
Because they had nothing but just complete, you know how I feel about the Celtics over the years, okay, going back to the Russell years.
Right.
So I couldn't stand them. But now the Lakers have kind of become just like the Celtics. They are the Celtics
God,
now.
Yeah.
They're worse. And LeBron, I got to tell you, he's not very likable. My feeling for LeBron has completely changed. So with that said, boy, do I want to see the Lakers lose. I got to say that. So I don't know who I'd root for, Lakers. I mean, who am I rooting
for? Well, we're not going to have it, all right? Just think positive. And look.
One of them's going down. You know what's probably going to happen? One of them's going to win and one of them's not. That's probably what's going
to
happen.
Well, it got off to a good start last night because Bam Adebayo, who is another one of those just tremendous bigs who can defend. He can defend all five positions. He can pass. He can block. Had another breakout year because he had a breakout year last year, but he almost fouled it up again with a tremendous block of Jason Tatum with 2.5 seconds to go.
Right, right.
Just an incredibly dramatic moment. And what was amazing is how right after that, the Celtics fouled. Miami split the free throws. Bam, I think, at one of them. And it was a three-point game, I think, I'm trying to remember. And so Boston had no timeout left. And they threw a long pass to Jason Tatum, who falls down and somehow got up and got the three off at the buzzer. He didn't make it, but it was incredible that he got it off. But a very entertaining game one between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat.
Anybody, and even you, bro, I mean, did you, because you, like I said, you're more locked into the NBA during the season than I am, okay? Did you see Miami at all being in this position? I mean, even like a thought for the Miami.
Well, I thought, look, when I watched them during the regular season, it was certainly jawing the kind of impact that Jimmy Butler made. And like I mentioned with Bam and, you know, how good Tyler Hero was and Duncan. So they were definitely a good team. So early on, you realize, okay, this is a good team. I looked at the East and I was dead wrong about it. I'll admit it. I just didn't think anybody could touch Milwaukee.
Right.
Because I bought in, wrongly, obviously,
right.
into the regular season Bucks. I bought into it.
Right.
Once you take them away, yes, it was wide open. Like, if you had asked me back in, you know, March when I was so confident the Bucks are coming out of the East, okay, fine, Bucks coming out of the East, who's got the best chance to knock them off? I wouldn't have known. I would have gone back and forth. Maybe it's Toronto.
I have a hard time buying into teams until I see them win. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
That's always something that I like. Okay, oh, yeah, this team's going to the final. But until they get there, you know, there's always that question, you know, about that happening.
Well, look at
you know what I mean?
But, Joe, look at these two teams in the East. Who? Forget the logos, forget the history, forget the franchises. Who do you trust to win? The Celtics are still a young team that's learning, and they've had playoff experience, and Jason Tatum continue. For Kemba Walker, this was his first real deep postseason run. On Miami's side, this is Jimmy Butler's first conference finals.
Well, here's the advantage. I'll give you the advantage that I see to Miami. The advantage I see to Miami is that they have Eric Spoelstra, who has won two championships and been to four finals. Mm-hmm. You know, Brad Stevens hasn't been to any of that yet. And he's a good coach. But to me, that's the one area that if I'm looking for something here that's an intangible to hang my hat on, all right? Because you're right. I mean, neither one of these teams has really won. You know, well, you know, where are they? You know what I'm saying? I mean, who do you feel better about as a new team really coming out of the, you know, getting to the finals? Because, boy, this is a new Boston team. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the one thing that I could maybe say, okay, look, I'm going to hang my hat on the two-time champion head coach here. And that's maybe how I would look at it. I'm not saying Miami's going to win. I'm rooting for Miami, I mean, obviously. But I'm not saying Miami's going to win, but that's something that you can – maybe that's an intangible you can kind of lean on a little bit.
Yeah,
you know
it's tough. I mean, the intangible I'm kind of leaning towards because usually you go with, okay, who's the best player on the floor?
Right, right.
Jason Tatum is becoming a star in front of our eyes. Kemba Walker, not this deep into the postseason, is always a guy you have confidence.
He's always been a very
–
yeah, well, Kemba's always been an excellent player. We know
that. And on the other side, you certainly feel that way about Jimmy Butler. I almost think the intangible is actually Bam himself. That five, because Daniel Tice is what he is. Bam is that, you know, 6'8", 6'9", guy who you can switch on anybody, who can pass, who can block shots, who can defend. You know, right now we are seeing the new age center. And they're emerging, whether it's Bam in Miami or certainly Nikola Jokic in Denver.
You're right.
I don't know. It's fun to watch. And I also...
Because you're more surprised by Miami than you are by Denver, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I picked Denver. Yeah, I believed in them.
Right,
I didn't believe in Miami.
Right.
I watched this Eastern Conference licking my chops.
Oh, yeah, as a Net fan. Sure.
I see my prey opponents, and I'm sizing all of them up.
Yeah.
And so I do envision, you know, what May could look like next year. You know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself because God knows what could happen.
No, you're right about that. I mean, look, you see it. That's 100%. Just, you know, all you need to know is, like you said, is the two teams that are playing in the finals here, in Eastern Finals.
Absolutely. So... Very fun night last night in the NBA.
Go Miami, go Denver. God
Amen.
Bless.
I'm with
go
you on that. I'm with you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.